Here we go. Three, two, one. And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 17, Comic Talk.
I think it's 17 and a half because it's going to be... Oh, never mind. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Okay. All right. Now I'm Chris Mosby, and yes, I'm wearing pants.
Okay, then. I'm Caleb Gerard, and I'm wearing socks. I don't know.
That's good.
Well, I'm Murray Fox, and I am not wearing either.
Oh, well, good. Mm-hmm. I only bring that up, finally catching up on the Legion podcast, and a couple of them mentioned that they don't wear pants when they record, and I just wanted that out of the way.
When they record? I don't think they wear pants ever.
Oh, well, that's probably true.
I've never met Scott Coles personally, but something strikes me that it wouldn't be surprised to see the man without pants.
So. Yeah, I don't think it would either. Let's see.
Have you met Scott?
I have met Scott.
No, I haven't. I haven't. I'm trying. Hopefully, I can make it to the thing again. Whatever their Comic Palooza that they have, the Comic Geek Feed has.
Oh, the Super Show?
Yes, I couldn't think of the name of it. I am so out of it today. I tell you, my allergies. I was telling them earlier, my head is all... It feels like I got a sack of something in there, and it's just... I'm just out of it today. So, Comic Talk.
Well, let me tell you, I just finished Daredevil number 6.
Yeah, I haven't got that yet.
With Bruiser... Mm-hmm. A new villain that Wade created for that book.
I love the look of it. It looks like he's got like logos of all the bad guys, villain groups, like sponsors, for, like a NASCAR sponsor kind of thing on his uniform. I think that is awesome.
It is. It is. And his uniform is like this. This guy is he's a wrestler, and his He is. He is sponsored by all of the super spy organizations out there, the Secret Society and Hydra and
whatever else. That is awesome. I love that idea.
It's great.
Let's see.
And he's funny. He's like, he talks about, he's going to work his way up the weight class, and his ultimate goal is to have a one-on-one with the Hulk.
That's awesome. That's a great idea. Wade is just—he's just so on so many levels. It's awesome.
Yeah. Definitely. Right now, my second favorite Marvel comic, actually, Daredevil. I mean, who the fuck?
Yeah. I never read Daredevil that much, but once I heard Wade was on it, I had to get it.
I think the one downside is this is the last issue for the art team, at least for the time being.
Okay.
Wade's sticking around, but the guys who are drawing it aren't.
Who has been doing the art? It's Marcos Martin, yeah?
I think that's right, yes. Marcos somebody. That's a good question. But it's really good. Got that almost Ditko skinny. Everybody's almost a little too skinny throughout the book.
There's no such thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that even Foggy looked a little on the short, thin side there.
I'm curious as to who's drawing him right now.
Is it Paolo Rivera or something also on that book?
Maybe. It's a ton. I mean, honestly, like I said, it's my second favorite Marvel title right now. Until 2 months ago, it was my favorite Marvel title, but this Wolverine and the X-Men book.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I might like I haven't read the second one, but I might like the Uncanny X-Men one better, but we'll see. The art's a little much for me on that Wolverine one. It's just a little too cheesy for my taste, but I might change my mind.
Oddly, I've read both. I've read both Uncanny and Wolverine, and while Wolverine is called, it's called Wolverine and the X-Men.
Right.
Feels like a team book, whereas Uncanny X-Men feels like it's Cyclops with a bunch of co-stars.
Yeah, I can see that.
I know that's supposed to be the focus. He's the main guy, but... Mm-hmm. Excuse me, I'm eating a muffin.
Well, okay then. Yeah, let's see.
What? Who is it that's in the Wolverine and the X-Men? Like, I know Cyclops has all the losers and cast-offs and creeps, except for Storm.
That's an interesting way to put it. Let me see.
I would have never thought of Namor as a loser, but okay.
No, I don't think it was.
Well, you know, the grumps, the cranky faces.
I still can't get over that Namor. How? I mean, Namor's been in with them for a while. It still blows my mind.
The first mutant.
Yeah, they've been playing that up like that, haven't they?
Yes, they have.
Let's see. They got Magneto off the top of my head. Magneto, I'm trying to find a digital version of it. Magneto, Namor, of course, Storm.
Emma Frost.
Yeah, Emma Frost. Her power is her big, you know, never mind, brain. Yeah, that's it.
They got Jugger Colossus, or whatever they're calling him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what's up with that? What happened? When did
he apparently got the Juggernaut stuff at one point. I think it happened during that Fear Itself 150 episode arc that they're still doing.
Man, I blinked, missed the issue that happened, and all of a sudden he shows up with that helmet on. I'm like,
yeah. What? Well, he's been walking around bald. I knew, and I've seen it. Things in. Okay, here we go. I found it. You got Danger, White Queen, Magic, Hope Summers. They got her in there. They're showing Mr. Sinister, but I think that's just a, you know, whatever. But yeah. And there's some weird deal with a Nimrod robot or a Celestial on the island.
Yeah, that's actually Danger, right?
No, that's not Danger. Danger's separate. Danger is actually the Danger Room.
Oh, okay.
I remember reading that when Whedon's run. But yeah, there you go. Magneto, Danger, Storm, White Queen, Hope Summers, Magic, and Colossus. With
Dr. Nemesis hung around for a while, and
And Colossus is bald?
Yes, he is bald. Yes, he is bald.
What's up with that?
I think it has to do that whole Juggernaut thing is like something he has to keep inside of him, and it's like it's evil, and that's what he's. Oh yeah, I forgot. Psylocke's in it too.
It's so evil that it eats his hair, Murray.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's terrible. And what's Juggernaut doing then? He's running around with no helmet?
But he's very hairy now.
Well, of course,
I don't know.
He lost the helmet.
No, I've lost a lot. Read this in a long time.
A hairy Juggernaut. That makes him Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm.
He's
there you go.
He belongs
to Canada.
That's right.
Oh my.
He's a
So they're fighting the Celestial in the first issue here.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Mr. Sinister, which is probably why this book is not appealing to me. But
yes.
Wolverine and the X-Men, I'm telling you. Murray, you got Kitty Pryde in there, Iceman, the Bamps. Not Nightcrawler, but the Bamps are in there.
The Bamps? Sounds like a punk band.
You don't remember them from that issue of X-Men many, many, many moons ago where Kitty Pryde was telling that fairy tale? To Ileana Rasputin when she was a little kid. It was all set in this pirate era thing where they had dragons and stuff. Mm.
I do remember that. I do like how at the end of both they've got that wonderful diagram of everybody. I don't know, so that actually shows it all.
The little icons, those are, yeah.
Yeah.
What are those kind of icons called? Those are about.
It's, I don't know, a Kubrick maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I agree with that. That's very cool stuff.
Yeah. So you got the X Club, which they're going to get their own series.
So, Murray, if you haven't checked it out, Wolverine and the X-Men.
Alrighty, I have checked out neither, but. I'm leaning towards the Wolverine one because I recognize at least some of the characters there.
Yeah.
The things they're doing with Iceman, I mean, honest to goodness.
Funny. Yeah, I have to admit, I read the second issue of that and I was impressed with that. So.
he's got this whole thing where he can create all these doppelgangers now out of ice.
Little snowman.
Yes. Yeah, the last one they actually showed, all the doppelgangers were different era Icemen, obviously with the snowman version from way back when. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty neat.
And did I hear that he's now kissing little Kitty there?
Oh, did he? Oh, you're right. Yes, he did.
Yep. What? Yeah. I missed that.
The lady Kitty and Iceman. Hmm.
Really?
The lady likes them shiny and smooth.
Well, isn't she still intangible, though?
No. Nope. She's tangible.
Oh, I missed that.
I know, that was never going to last.
Just well, like, yeah, I just... Like, her being gone was never going to last.
I hope.
But anyway, okay, well, that's interesting. Yeah, I just barely... I really want to go back and, like, figure out what's happened to them since I stopped reading, but then again, at the same time, I don't. I've been, like, whenever I find a really cheap trade or hardcover of stuff, I've been buying it, so I've got a bunch of X-Men stuff I haven't read. I think, like, Havoc and Polaris are going to be an X-Factor.
Yes.
Which I've been meaning to get those. I might get those on Comicology, all the rest of those that have that logo on the Regenesis thing, because I actually have been missing X-Men, sad to say. Or, actually, is that sad? Or is that good? I don't know, maybe that's good. But I'll tell you what, I've been reading that I've been really liking. Some people on on our Facebook group have kind of agreed is that Bionic Man series. Rod Trent, the guy I know from the IT world, posted on our podcast about that, how he's really liking it. And Alejandro Torres as well, he is enjoying it. So, it's very well written. Kevin Smith, even though he's got some of his potty humor in there a little bit, but it's not near as bad. And it's just well written, and he even explains some of the cheesy stuff from the TV show, like the noise that they'd have on TV when he would do the bionics. That's explained. Yeah, I forget what he said it was, but that they actually explained that. And because, like, Oscar's like, what's that sound? Oh, it's you know, gases releasing from the so-and-so-and-so-and-so or something like that. It's pretty funny.
Steve Austin's farts is what they did.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm sure. Yeah, I believe that was brought up at least once. So here we go. Yeah, number four was really good. They did a lot more to him than they did in the TV show. They actually took both his arms so it would balance out, they said. So how's everybody liking the number threes of the DC stuff so far?
I have been... I've been enjoying them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's any...
I have a handful I haven't read yet.
Aha.
Like Batman and the Flash. I like to say those for last. But I heard Firestorm number 3 was better. I glanced through it. It seemed a little...
Eh. I guess, but...
Well, I haven't read it yet, so I could be wrong. But...
No, I mean, I've heard that other people have liked it, too. It's just,
Yeah, I'm not sure how much longer I'll be reading that, but...
It's not really what I'm looking for. It's
very, very, very dark.
It really is. It's... Yeah. It's really, really dark.
Yeah, and that's not, I'm sure, what a lot of people expected, and that's probably why they have problems with it.
Yeah, did I read right? Because again, I'm not reading it anymore. That Martin Stein is now building weapons for terrorists.
That's what the little bit that I did read. That's what this government organization has sent the people around to kill a bunch of people are saying.
Yeah, they're setting you up to think that he's been a traitor, but
well, that's what these people that are going around killing everybody are telling the two Firestorms that. So you know, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it means that when he shows up again, perfectly alive in issue 6, that he will be framed or not a traitor or, you know.
Blah, blah, blah.
And the Firestorm, apparently the Firestorms were supposed to be a deterrent to nuclear war, and every country was supposed to have one. So, you know, so another one shows up, and yada yada. I don't know. I haven't read it yet, but and then
yeah, like for a new take on the book, it doesn't seem to be hitting the classic.
Mm-mm.
Like to me, Firestorm was always about the dichotomy of the two characters,
mm-hmm.
and how they interacted and how they worked together to do something, and they seem to have totally removed that by making Jason a separate Firestorm from Ronnie, and they combine to create this Fury character with perhaps some other. It seems like there's some third figure in the background there of Fury, but there's not.
Which is
there's
probably
not the interaction and the interplay that I'm. That
yeah,
I'm,
yeah. I never did. I don't know why. I never did read any of that stuff. I'd like to get those that hardcover they put out or whatever it was at trade and read some of that older stuff. I never did get into that character.
I have all 100 issues of the original series, plus annuals. I mean, it's just, it had its ups and downs, but absolutely the best parts of the book was, you know, A, that when there was the two minds kind of having to work together, and then also the fact that he was a unique character. There was nobody else like him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when they got rid of the whole dual mind thing for a while during the Ostrander run, he was unique. I mean, there was, you know, he was the fire elemental for a while, and I you know, I'm not asking all these books to say, you know, revisit, you know, what I consider to be the high points of the characters, but just to completely ignore what made them
awesome. Well, you got to remember, you know, they tried to redo it and it didn't go over, and I don't know, they're trying to. This just isn't one that hasn't worked as well as some of the others. Let's put it that way. Because I like Aquaman, that's good. Green Arrow is paltry, but I'm waiting. I'm reading it, waiting for the new writer.
The only one that I've reversed my opinion on, and I said it last time or last conversation about this, was Omax.
Yeah, that seems to be pretty good actually. I kind of like that.
It's awesome. It's so good.
Yeah, it's good. I admit. I mean, it is good.
It's got the flavor of Kirby when he was doing. I've been taking old Kirby stuff out of the library, so I read his run on Black Panther. I didn't even know he did a run on Black Panther, but he did like.
Uh-uh.
8 or 9 issues on Black Panther in the early 70s, and I've read his OMAC, like his original OMAC, and his Kirby stuff, and it's just, it's so crazy. Like, his Black Panther run was, it was, I don't even know where to begin. Like, I think it picks up right immediately. Like, I think Black Panther had a run in Jungle Tales or Tales from the Jungle, or I don't know, some, like, he was a backup strip character for a long time, done by, I don't know, Don McGregor maybe, or shoot, I don't know, I've never read them, and I've heard they're great, but I think he picks up like right after that, or the series comes out right after that, but it's Black Panther as sort of a treasure hunter. It's just what, like he's stuck with this little person named Mr. Little, and the two of them are like bouncing around the world trying to find treasures, and there's crazy monsters and wild, like it's wild, crazy stuff. But and that's exactly what OMAC is like. It's fun.
You know what makes this fun? And again, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I'm not a fan of Kirby's art, but the one thing the guy definitely always remembered was that there is no budget to the special effects in a comic book.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can draw it, it can be shown. I mean, for
exactly.
Christ's
sake. Exactly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, you know, and I think he probably got some of that, you know, he kind of realized that looking at Goldberg diagrams where, okay, you can, you know, go from A to Z and have all these things happen. It's like, if you can draw it, it can happen. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, I have to agree. I don't think some, not all creators do that.
Nope.
Either. And that's a very good point. Let's see. Oh, while I'm thinking of it, you heard about Garib Sheamus is out at Wizard. You heard about that?
I did hear that.
He resigned as of December 1st. There was an SEC filing since they're, you know, a publicly traded company. They have to file it with the SEC. And they're going to be looking for a new director. So.
So what's that? I wonder what that's going to mean for, like, all the cons and stuff that they were gobbling up and
I don't know.
Putting out.
I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah, they're going to make a hire within 45 days, which to me means that they've already probably got somebody in mind. But the resignation letter, it's pretty formal. It says, this resignation is blah, 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 hereby resign, effective immediately. The resignation is not the result of any disagreement with the company or any matter relating to the company's operations, policies, or practices. The filings from Wizard says exactly the exact same thing. So.
Well, that's the job you were interviewing for, right?
No. shh, quiet.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I couldn't let that one pass.
No, I know. I was thinking the same thing. Okay. But anyway, if I was in charge of Wizard, what would I do? Well, first thing I'd do is make Patrick Stewart come over to my house. That's what I would do. Somehow.
What? What?
I don't know. It just popped out of my head. No, I wasn't thinking. So I just put something off the wall. I meet Adam West and Burt Ward. I would do that. I'll give you that. Because yeah. They're at every convention now, aren't they?
I don't know.
Yeah. That's what his conventions have turned into. It's like, I think the last one I went to is that's when it was first started. They even had the Blagojevich guy.
Were you at that one?
I think I was.
I know that, and I was. It was crazy.
Yeah, I bet. No, I think that was a year after. That's when they got like a 300,000 celebrity guests now at these things. They got more celebrity guests than attendees at them now. So it's the one I went to had Gail Gerard was there, Edward James Olmos, and the guy that played the Colonel from the Battlestar Galactica TV series. They were right next to each other. Aaron Gray was there, of course. Lou Ferrigno. I'm trying to think of others. There was a bunch of other people.
Bo Wheaton was sitting there, I'm sure.
He wasn't that time, but
no.
They get a lot of Star Trek people now. So
Just looking at the Phoenix Con one.
Oh yeah,
they're gonna have William Shatner, and they're gonna have Ed Asner.
Why?
He did the voice of the old guy in Up. And that's the only I don't know.
Oh my god, that's bad.
Wow.
How's this con, but why Ed Asner?
I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to make money.
Has he done a voice like on a cartoon or anything?
Not that I know of. I'm trying to
quick,
think.
IMDb.
There you go.
Huh. Yeah. I could see him as being like, I don't know, a dark side voice or a.
He did Granny Goodness. He did Granny Goodness.
That's right.
Well,
he did.
There you go. That's enough to get you to a con.
Yeah. Okay. That makes more sense. That makes more sense.
Granny Goodness is voiced by Ed Asner.
Oh yeah. That I remember that now. I was shocked to see that. Let's see.
That was on the Superman cartoon, I think.
Yeah, it was. It was. I remember reading that because I'd always stop after. I try it because I'd have it recorded. I always try to, you know, slow it down enough where I could read who did what. And I remember catching that. That's pretty funny.
That's too funny. You're gonna get little kids in line with pictures of Granny Goodness signing, and then you're gonna get like the old timers that remember Mary Tyler Moore signing. And
oh yeah, there you go.
There you go. Grandmas can bring their kids to the con. And
he did Perry White for the All-Star Superman adaptation.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Okay. Well, he's got some cred then. It's all right. You can still go, Ed.
And he did Kent Nelson for a Young Justice episode.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that show is good. I have been catching up on it. Wow.
It is good, isn't it?
It's been awesome.
I really like that.
Oh my gosh, it's really cool. The first couple of episodes were a little slow. Maybe. But since whenever they came back, I've loved it. I've loved how it's got, like, that's what Teen Titans should be.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely.
That it's great. Like, it's like a little DCU cartoon whenever it's on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're about three episodes behind, but I have them sitting. I'm waiting to watch them with my oldest because she really digs on it. So I've been trying to find a time when we can just kick back for an hour and watch three episodes. It's I'm looking forward to, because like you guys, it's a fun book, or cartoon, and the comic follows right along with it.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, the stories are kind of like all date stamped, and they go in between.
Oh, that's right, they are, aren't they?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's cool.
It's really good.
Yeah, the first issue of the comic took off from, I think, like the end of the first episode of the cartoon.
Yeah, it did. I have the zero issue, but that's all I've got.
Maybe zero. Yeah, you're right. The zero issue. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that Superboy hangout with Wally at his house for a couple of days until they figured out what to do. That was actually pretty funny.
Uh-huh.
So.
Voila. See?
What else? Something else I had.
That's why Ed Asner will be at Phoenix Con.
Wow.
Yeah. Get old timers who remember him as cranky. What the hell is his character? Lou Grant? And then also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And cranky Granny Goodness.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
He was an elf. I forgot he was Santa Claus, an elf. Wow.
Not seen that movie.
You have not seen Elf?
Okay. No, I can't stand Will Ferrell. He makes me angry of his stupidness.
That's right. When we were talking about Talladega Nights, that's right.
That's right. Yeah, I can't stand that guy. Just can't. What else we got? Free Comic Book Day stuff has been announced. Who's doing what? The Gold members and so on and so forth. They got DC's going to have, looks like, Jim Lee, Adam Hughes, and Andy Kubert, an official cover for the DC Comics new edition there. And, of course, this is radio and you can't see it, but it's right there. See? I'm moving my cursor. It's right there. Anyway.
Beautiful.
When is Free Comic Book Day next year?
Second Saturday in May.
Calendar time?
No idea. That's why I just remember that.
Is it? I thought the dates were weird this year.
Second would be the 12th, but let's look at freecomicbookday.com, shall we?
It might be March. Maybe it's not. Maybe I miss.
That's just what I usually remember.
Yeah, May sounds like what it ought to be.
It's supposed to be like at the
May 5th, first Saturday in May. That's
there
it.
We go.
May 5th.
Yeah, the front end of the big convention season is when they usually put that out. So.
Yeah, always love that. It's 153 days, according to their website.
There you go.
Start counting down, boys and girls. Anyway, what other little thing? Rumors going around that they're working on a prequel to Watchmen. Your thoughts?
As a comic book or as a movie?
As a comic book. There has been stuff on the beat and on everybody's favorite blog.
Bleeding Cool.
Yeah.
The National Enquirer.
They claim to have a solid source.
Alan Moore doesn't do comics.
It's not going to be Alan Moore.
Then what's the point?
That's what I'm throwing it out there for those that's what I'm looking for. What do you guys think about that? But right now they got 4 prequels are underway. According, this is what they've heard. Andy Kubert is slated to draw at least one, and also believed to be involved. J. Michael Straczynski, which means it'll never come out. J.G. Jones and the original Watchmen collaborators John Higgins and Dave Gibbons. Darwin Cook is said to be masterminding the whole thing. Although unverified, Cook and Kubert have been hinting at working on top secret projects for a while.
Oh, okay, so Darwin Cook's on it, so that gives it some cred, but still,
it's just supposed to be like little prequels. The one that Kubert was supposed to be working on, according to what I've read, is a kind of like the first time that the two night owls met each other. You know, that kind of thing.
Then they might as well do a Jurassic Park book that Crichton didn't write. I mean, it's not what's the point.
I know. I'm just bringing it out there to see what you guys think. You know.
I think it's stupid.
I kind of agree too, but
I don't know if it. It doesn't bother me. You know what? If it makes Alan Moore crankier, I'm all for it.
Well, there you go. Is this even possible, though? Can the man be even crankier?
I read his little anti Alan Moore Frank Miller tirade that he did. About when Frank Miller was bagging on the Occupy people.
Yeah.
And Alan Moore tonight basically saying that Frank Miller's an idiot and a misogynist douchebag.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Hello?
Yeah, he's back. Caleb talked through your departure, so.
That's fine. I'm sure.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. No, he went offline for a second, but he's back. But
I was reading Alan Moore's response to Frank Miller's anti-Occupy tirade, and basically he was even crankier than Frank Miller, and calling basically said Frank Miller's a douchebag, and so something makes him crankier, makes him more.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. I didn't even read his diatribe. It seems like there's a lot of the comic creators I like feel the same way as far as politics, but I don't want to get burnt on a creator I really like and find out that they don't, you know, agree, but on some things that I do. But so I've kind of like, when that stuff kind of comes up, I kind of keep back a little bit. I don't necessarily read it. So, but
you know what might surprise you is in the Alan Moore rant, he talks about that a lot of the creators that he remembered working with back in the day, as opposed to what I was left leaning. I was a little surprised to see that. Maybe there's a bunch of closet conservatives in the comic book industry.
Well, there might be.
I don't know. I think you take anyone and stand them beside Alan Moore and they're going to come off as conservative, and they could be the most liberal
that's a good point.
Person in the world.
But, he is interesting, isn't he?
I don't know. See, he's one of those guys where I read his stories and generally I like them, and then he starts jibber jabbering about stuff, and
I don't even pay attention to him.
Banana cakes.
Yeah, I don't even pay attention to him anymore. Really, for that. So it's like I like his work, and it's kind of like Tom Cruise, for example. Okay, when he really I was really disappointed in some of the stuff that he said, you know, when he went on that thing with Matt Lauer and all that other crap, and but I really, when he really, really works at it, he's a really good actor, so I try not to think about that, you know?
For the first time in history, folks, Alan Moore and Tom Cruise compared side by side.
Well, yeah, if you think about it, it's a lot the same. I like their work, but I don't like their politics.
Shut up, Shut up and create is what you're saying.
Yeah, basically, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So
bringing it back to Watchmen.
Yes.
I wonder, like, as much as I'd like to see, I wonder, like, the book has such a, like, I mean, it's so self-contained, beginning, middle, end, and there's a theme and a story that kind of runs through and ties it all together. I'm hoping that if they're going to do little prequels, that they have more than just, this is a cool story that took place before the story. Like, if you're gonna try to attach something to Watchmen, I think it has to be a big...
Yeah.
But, like, you need more than just Night Owl and Night Owl are meeting. You need, like, you need a big theme. You need a good... You need to explore something, you know? And
yeah, I don't really think they should. I should they just leave it alone. And I mean, taking the Star Wars stuff, for example, I don't think prequels are a good idea. Because at least you can end up with holes.
Or Jar Jar Binks.
Exactly. That's a good enough reason not to ever do a prequel ever again. Oh, look at Star
Wouldn't
Trek.
Wouldn't that make Alan Moore explode if they did like a Jar Jar Binks to one of his characters? Oh, I am so for it now. Oh, I'm in. Who could do the Jar Jar? Who would be the Jar Jar?
They could have Night Owl could have a sidekick or something.
Oh.
Call it Owlie or, you know. Hopefully no DC, no Warner Brothers execs are listening to this podcast. It's like, damn, that's a great idea.
Some of the Rorschach dialogue is kind of broken up and backwards, like Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go.
You know, big floppy or something like that. Oh, Lord, that's just scary as hell.
We'll see. At the moment, of course, it's all just rumors and.
He liked me big time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all speculation, but I just want to know what your thoughts were about that. I heard that that's been like a big. In fact, it was such a big topic. Watchmen 2 became a trending topic on Twitter the day that I heard about it. It was just all over the place.
Is Alan Moore, did he give up all of his rights to Watchmen, or did he ever have rights to Watchmen?
Yes, he did have them. That's part of this thing that, and I had heard this before, they offered, Warner Brothers offered to give him the rights back if he did sequels or prequels. And he told them no. And this is, there's even a quote about it. Sometime in June I received a phone call from Dave Gibbons in which I probably did sound a little bit unfriendly on the phone because it was very clear he wasn't phoning up to thank me for the Watchmen film money, and I figured that he was probably phoning up to talk to me about something else to do with Watchmen. I was busy at the time. I told him to call me back on Monday. Sure enough, he said, Alan, got a few minutes. I just want to talk to you about Watchmen. So I said, as long as it was only a few minutes only. And Dave, if that is the end to it. And he then went forward, and I didn't let him get very far. But he said, and I knew that he had always been opposed to prequels and sequels of Watchmen and had always had the assurances of people like Paul Levitz at DC that would never be done. But, of course, those people aren't there anymore, and it was a different regime. And I heard that the new head of DC – and that's in capitalized, and announced that she really wanted to pursue some of DC's key properties, which I assume she probably meant Watchmen. I think she may have ever mentioned it. I don't know. So as you can tell, this is Alan Moore. It's quite rambling. So anyway, he says, so I said to Dave that, yes, I have heard about this, and he was saying that he knew the thing that I'd always wanted was a rights to Watchmen back. This was said with the kind of understanding that if they gave me the rights to Watchmen, then I would in return sign over the rights to secondary properties such as, oh, I don't know, Rorschach's comics, sequels, prequels, all of these things, .. And it did, that caused a little schism between him and Dave Gibbons, I guess. And I've read more of this interview about this. He was pretty – he pretty much, by the time it was over, told Dave to never talk to him. So
I hope it doesn't happen.
I think it's a bad idea.
despite the potential for setting the internet on fire, it's not a good idea. I think any backstory that was not covered in the original Watchmen, it's in your head. You know.
Yeah.
I don't need the conversation where Daniel goes to meet up with the old guy and say, "Hey, I want to be Night Owl."
Yeah, and really, if they were going to do anything, they should have done it years ago. And I think it's way too late to be, you know, throwing that together now. It's just not going to be any good. Just like Kingdom Come.
I don't know. Like, you have to wonder. You got to think that they've had all those thoughts, right? Like, how do you follow up Watchmen? Like, how? Why? Like, and yet, I don't know. Like, you must think that someone's been sitting down going, "We can't come up with a story that's going to top it."
Well, yeah, they would. I would hope they wouldn't want to try to do that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
I don't think they really care about that. They just want money.
They want the money for sure. But the people, I don't know, the people that are writing the story and the creative that they have to get involved, it's tricky. It's probably not a road to go down, but it's. I don't know.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Go ahead.
I was going to say, look at Dark Knight. I mean, it's a perfectly great example of a parallel comic. Frank Miller, what is arguably the definitive Batman story.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, say that, you know, go back to, you know, the Bob Kane stuff, that defined Batman. Well, no, I think Frank Miller wrote the definition for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a hit. It sold well. It, you know, reinvigorated Batman, reinvigorated DC, for goodness sake.
Mm-hmm.
And a few, you know, 10 years, 20 years later, however long it was, he does Batman Strikes or Dark Knight Strikes.
Yeah, Dark Knight Strikes Again.
Which was a load of crap.
Well, that last issue was totally, if they'd left that out, it would have been fine. I liked it if that had been left out. But I agree, that probably wasn't a good idea either.
Yeah, it's just let it alone. I mean, don't go and jump the shark. It's not necessary. Time to stop. You know, we don't need to bring in Ted McGinley to play Batman and kill the book. Ted McGinley, he's our patron saint on this show apparently.
No idea who you're talking about.
Ted McGinley from Happy Days, from Married with Children, from...
Oh, that guy.
From Love Boat.
Gotcha. Now I know who you're talking about.
He was freaking ace on Love Boat. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just didn't know his name.
Okay. Married with Children is probably a better example, actually, Murray. But...
Well, once you said when you said Married with Children after Happy Days, I knew who you meant then.
There you go.
But he had a tendency to come in on shows when they were dying. So
no. You show up on set. Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
I don't know. He lasted on Married with Children for a long time.
Yeah.
He was on there longer than the guy who played Steve. So.
Yeah.
Point being, you know what? Not everything needs a sequel or a prequel I think you know, J.J. Abrams got lucky with his Star Trek interpretation.
Well, that wasn't really a prequel. That was a complete redo of the whole entire thing.
Right, but again, it didn't need to be done, and it just, he lucked out that it worked. I mean,
Well, see, I have to disagree with you there, because Paramount, they don't have Star Trek anymore. CBS does. And that's what brought all that. Paramount killed, they just ruined it to the ground, because they had, when they had those shows in syndication, sometimes they were competing each other, and then they made that stupid Enterprise show, which was a prequel, and that just, it killed the Star Trek franchise, and that's why they did that movie, was to try to revive it.
Huh.
Because, I mean, when Next Generation was on, was in its fifth or sixth season when DS9 came on. So in some markets, it would be in competing time slots because they were syndicated. And then when same thing happened, DS9 was in its fifth or sixth season, and they brought Voyager along. Same thing. And they launched the Paramount Network with Voyager, too. And they'd show it on there, and it ended up being in syndication after. And then they did it again with Enterprise, and they'd have them on at the same time in syndication. And, you know, the one show would still have a couple of years left on it, and then they'd show the other, and the same thing happened. So you had all those shows all back-to-back. They should have spaced them out a couple of years. And then if people were just like, you know, burnt out on it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, point being, it doesn't need to be done.
I agree.
Don't do the Watchmen prequel. You didn't, you know, it's unnecessary. And I'm sure we could, you know, they didn't need to do the sequel to Dark, you know, to Great Darkness Saga that that they did in Legion. I mean.
Oh, yeah. That was a long time after. I remember that.
Near and dear to our hearts here.
Yeah, it wasn't all that great either.
No, exactly. It actually kind of sucked.
Mm-hmm. I barely even remember that, to tell you the truth.
And maybe these things suck in comparison. Maybe you know, holding the one up next to the other, there's no way that the one could ever be as good as or even come close to equaling.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, maybe they do just suck.
Well, it's everybody's own opinion, but I agree with you. Well, and then look, you got the Star Trek movies up to that point too. I've always thought the second one was better than the first one, and then of course the two that Nicholas Meyer directed were always the best. And then you got like that crap with Spock's brother in that fifth one. Even Roddenberry didn't like that one.
Oh, that was one with God, right?
Yeah, that was that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Roddenberry was very upset about that. I read that somewhere. He as far as he's concerned, that movie never happened. And he passed away not too long. He passed away, I think, maybe a month or two before the sixth one came out.
Died of shame.
Yeah, that one was a good one, though.
The Undiscovered...
Country, yeah. Probably my favorite one.
With Christopher, was that Christopher Lee? Is the bad guy? Oh, I'm sorry.
No. Was can't remember his name. Crap. Anyway, right. This isn't the Star Trek podcast, so though I can probably do one about it. I've seen them all. Have several of the ships floating around in here.
Have you seen streaming on Netflix the Star Trek cartoon?
Yeah, that too. They've got all the Star Trek stuff on there. I've been watching DS9.
That's right. They finally got that a couple months ago, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been waiting for that. Because I have a couple of the DVD sets of Next Generation, and I watched those so many times. You can tell me the first 5 minutes of an episode, and I can tell you what episode it is, the name of it. That's how much I've watched the Next Generation. But the DS9's the one I haven't seen that much, so.
Speaking of Star Trek, so yes. I've been sharing the Star Trek Legion book with my daughter.
Oh yeah,
she was like, when are these two teams gonna finally meet? And of course, the last panel of issue two, they finally meet up. But that was her. When are they gonna meet each other? I said, keep reading. Keep reading.
That's a really good comic. That Roberson guy, he's really good. I read another one of his that he does for Boom, Elric, The Balance Lost. That's a really good book. If you've read any of the Elric books, it's really good.
Well, I just got the first trade of iZombie, so I will be catching up with my Roberson.
That is good. In fact, my wife looked at the description on the back and said she'd even like to read it, but of course she hasn't, but it's on her little computer stand, so. I have the second trade, but I haven't read it yet. So, but anyway.
Thanks to our overload on the first month of the DC Universe, I'm a little fried on reading comics, so I'm much better than I would want to be at this point.
I've been, I got a Kindle Fire recently and been reading books, actual books without pictures, a lot more than I had in the past. So I just got through reading Snow Crash for the 15th, 16th time, and went on to read The Hobbit, which I haven't read since grade school. So that's what I've been doing.
Snow
Crash. Yeah, have you ever read that?
No.
The Hobbit?
No, Snow Crash.
Oh. No.
No. Oh, yeah. You have to, if it's a cyberpunk novel, the word avatar, which, you know, that's common, was probably one of the first times it was ever used. The main character's name is Hiro, H-I-R-O, protagonist. And he starts off as a – it's in the quote-unquote near future, and he starts off as a pizza delivery guy for the mob, because mobster, they're a franchise in his future. And he's the greatest swordsman in the world and one of the best hackers.
So, of course he is. He's a swordsman.
Yeah. So, yeah, very good. But yeah, it's my favorite book. It's really good stuff.
So I'm reading the wiki on it right now.
Oh yeah, that'll give away a lot of the plot, but it's still okay. Good.
Well, all right.
Yeah, you can ask. Yeah, Paul's a big fan. Paul French is a big fan of it too.
I see the audio version of it.
Yeah, there you go. That would be interesting.
I can only read about 10 pages a day before I fall asleep. So.
Yeah, I have to be sufficiently awake to read too these days. I need to finish these comics. I didn't even make it to the comic shop this week because I had,
what?
I know. I had other things I had to attend to.
Pshaw.
DC took full advantage of the fact that this was a five-week month, or November was a five-week month, so.
Yeah. Well, there wasn't really that much out. That's one of the reasons why I didn't go. I think there was three comics on my pull list that were out, so I was like, wait till next time.
You know, and they said, you know what? We've got five Wednesdays in November. We are not putting out any DC new stuff. It's, mm-hmm. You know, not some of the non-stuff. I think, you know, one of the... I think the Shade or something like that came out. I know that the Legion Secrets came out.
Yeah,
Legion
yeah,
Secrets it did. Came out. Shade didn't come out.
Okay, and it was one of the off cycle books came out.
Mm-hmm. What else? Fables came out. Green Lantern animated series came out. Tiny Titans came out.
Yeah.
I picked up Archie, but that came out last week.
Oh, the Kiss Archie book, yes.
No, I didn't.
Oh, no, I meant The Married Life, but you're right. Yeah, the Kiss Archie book did come out.
Whoa, Murray.
I know.
Okay.
Huh?
What'd you mean?
He was staticky.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I think he was messing with paper.
Oh. Yeah. I was going through my comic bag. Yes. I missed Kiss and Archie, but I did get...
But I tell you one thing that everyone should rejoice about, though... is Justice League Cry for Justice is now in Comicology.
Really?
Oh.
That was sarcasm.
You know, though, that could have been such a good book. I mean, ugly art aside.
That was...
Whoa. That was the saving grace for that book for me.
Yeah, it was, actually. I liked the idea of it, but just the way it ended up. But that didn't happen now. That's all been wiped.
Yeah, maybe. But James Robinson, he was at Fan Expo this summer, and one of the he was at a panel. I think it was like a James Robinson writers panel, so he kind of had to be there. But he talked about the plans that he had for that series and the plans that he had for the Justice League. And I would have loved to have read the series that he had actually planned to write. He had so many good ideas, and he had so many ideas foisted on him that he just kind of had to write in that I think, and I mean, it's not like he was up there complaining. He was speaking very professionally, and you kind of had to read between the lines, but the stories that he could have told would have been amazing.
seems like I heard about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Cry for Justice changed so much between whatever he was planning and whatever ended up coming out.
Well, I enjoyed the text pieces that he wrote in those, though.
Oh, yeah.
They were really good.
Yes, mostly because they didn't have that horrible artist.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, Murray, you were going through a tunnel. I didn't hear that last.
Yeah. So, Caleb, we got another email from our UK fan. You want to read it?
Oh, crap. You mean I got to load up my Gmail? Hold on.
No, I've got it right here if you want me to read it.
No, I got it. Hold on. Let me just pull it up here. Robin,
it was to you, actually. So.
It was?
Yeah, you forwarded it to me.
Oh.
Or BCC'd me on the reply or CC'd or whatever.
I thought you were in on the original email.
No, because I think you emailed him separately, and that's how it...
Here we go. So, Robin, I'm not even going to attempt an English accent, because that would just do a huge disservice to the fact that that they speak it much better than we do over here in the States or even in Canada.
I can't argue with you considering where I live.
Yeah, well, I'm from LA where the word like is actually a pronoun. So, Robin says, hi guys, sorry it took me so long to reply. He's been absolutely manic at work, so good for him. That means that working good. So he wanted to get back to us about our initial email reply. He didn't expect to be actually read on the show. Hey, two times now, Robin, man.
Yeah.
You're doing better than we are, actually.
We love feedback.
His girlfriend doesn't normally listen to podcasts, but she needed to listen to this one. I'm paraphrasing, by the way, here, Murray. And he was pretty jazzed the fact that his letter was read on the show. He's still looking for some good horror comics, though. He's kind of got he's kind of maxed out on superhero stuff. And I mean that he wouldn't take more superhero stuff. He's kind of maxed out.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about his favorite books so far in the DC New are Batman, yay, Animal Man, I got with you there, Action, okay, Justice League, Green Lantern Corps, Suicide Squad, I, Vampire, good choice, by the way, Demon Knights, of course.
I really like that book.
Supergirl. Now, Murray, you're still a Supergirl reader, right?
Nope.
No. Oh, okay, nope. You're right, Robin. And Justice League Dark. He likes lists, so if we want to keep him as a reader, apparently we have to do more lists.
We can do that.
He liked the TV show episode that we did. Of the shows we talked about, he'd only seen the Adam West Batman and Lois and Clark. None of the other stuff. So
I'm sorry.
Boring. He liked the Fantastic Four 600, which I'm gonna say I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait till it gets cheaper on the Comicology before I get it. I'm not paying $8 for a digital comic. I'm just not gonna.
No spoilers intended here, but who didn't see that coming? I will not spoil the book for you, Chris or Murray, if you're planning on reading it.
Read it.
You read it. What'd you think? You didn't like that Medusa Black Bolt story?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
Well,
is that
now.
Silent one?
It was not silent.
No, there were words in it. Okay, then I thought it was all right. No, there were some. What is he speaking now? Or was I didn't get that?
That was in their head. That was in their private.
So he can speak to her telepathically, or they're just imagining what each other's thinking. Either way, I don't know.
Well, don't they have worked a subtle body language way to talk to each other? No way.
I always thought that, but Hickman made, at least in this new iteration of Black Bolt and Medusa, they have actually a psychic place where they go and chit chat.
Oh well, how lovely.
Yeah.
That's a new one.
That was actually. I enjoyed that. I'm like, okay, that's cool. What was the other one? I like that Franklin Richards story, though. That was cute.
I'll have to get that then.
So Robin, thank you for writing in. And
yeah.
My suggestion for a horror comic, 30 Days of Nights. Started the first miniseries, Steve Niles and
yeah, I was reading about those.
Ben Templeton. Very cool concept. I never saw the movie, but the idea of vampires have decided, okay, if we go to Alaska,
mm-hmm.
where there is a month of darkness, it's a feeding frenzy for us.
Yeah, I thought that was that's a cool concept, I thought.
Yes, it was. So there's a good one. I haven't actually read it, but I've heard some great things about Hack Slash, which is supposed to be a good horror-type comic book.
I hear Lock and Key's really good.
Is that horror?
I think so.
Okay. So Robin, there are a lot of choices out there for you, man, if you're looking for some other horror stuff to go along with the other stuff you've read, or even... And again, iVampire, perfectly good horror book.
That is a good book.
I
was surprised how much I liked that, even though I don't care for the vampire thing. And I got the first issue of American Vampire on Comicology. I'm thinking I might get that because Snyder's writing is so good. I might actually get that.
So, tons of choices.
What else? Oni Press is putting out The Sixth Gun, which is sort of a horror, western, mystical mashup.
Yeah, I've got the free... Pardon me. Sorry. I got the free allergy medicine. I got the free Comic Day issue of that, and I actually like that concept. I'd like to read more.
It's good. Yeah, I picked up the first trade in Chicago in the spring, and then I've been getting the singles ever since. It's good. It's
how to
describe it? Sort of a western with, yeah, six mystical guns that could bring about the end of the world, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. They've got 14 issues on Comicology.
I think that's about
what the first one is 14, free.
I was just saying, the downside of recommending Comicology, especially if we're talking about Robin here, is apparently they have some. The exchange rate is not quite one for one.
True.
But, and I don't even know if they have the same content, but certainly take a look there, Robin, if you don't want to hunt up the physical book.
Well, one of the reasons I mentioned it is sometimes they give the first issue away, so you can at least read it for free before you actually buy a physical copy. So. Because that's what I've downloaded so many of that free stuff and found stuff I actually like and then went and bought, later on. So that's why I mention it.
I'm not discouraging. Something I think I read somewhere where people are not feeling the equitable return on their British pound or the
I can understand that.
Euro.
Well, I tell you, with my Kindle. I'm just real close. Hopefully that it's several weeks before my comic shop, the guy that runs the comic shop list hears this, but that I go to now. But considering they started all the DC stuff over and they're not probably going to ever be worth anything, maybe not, when I'm 60 maybe, I'm real close to getting more digital stuff just because I've got so much crap in here. And what I've been doing, if I miss one, I've been getting it there instead of trying to hunt it down. And it's so easy to do. But anyway, that's just – it's something I've been thinking about.
Choices, choices, choices.
Mm-hmm.
So, Robin, you are not limited to superhero crap if you don't want –
I mean, okay, a different superhero thing written by the same guy at Walking Dead, Invincible. There, throw that out there. Totally, especially I'm not sure if I'm liking it quite now, but the first three or four years of it was really, really good stuff. It's not your standard fare. Other things like that, the powers stuff by Brian Michael Bendis. It's still superhero-y, but it's not at the same time. Really good book. I'm not, you know, as I said before, I'm not really into the horror genre, but I have read other things that are not superhero. So, but that's just some ideas off the top of my head. So,
And I would say that the hype around Wonder Woman was right in terms of the horror.
Yeah, that's something. That's very close to a horror book, yeah. I really like that book. I think they're doing a great job with it.
At that number three, wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, that was something. Really was.
Wow. That's going to read great as a collected story.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, that is that our fan mail. We acknowledge our fans here.
Yes, we do. All one of them.
Yeah.
I think we got more than that, but that's the only one that's talked up. But, you know, we really appreciate it.
Yeah. And Robin, honestly, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Come on Facebook. There's a lot of talk going on there.
Yeah.
Very active.
Yeah, I usually get to post some kind of thing before I go to work, and they've completely blocked it, Facebook completely in any way, shape, or form, except for maybe if I do it on my phone. So I usually throw a topic out there, and everybody talks about it, and it's already done, talked to death by the time I can reply. So not that I don't enjoy reading it, but, you know, that's just the way it works.
And goes off some completely unrelated tangent.
Yeah, but still, it's great. I miss that. I miss that, you know, talking about that kind of stuff, so.
Funny you should say that. I got an opportunity to go to the comic store this week,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I had to give up on the big Atomic Comics, which closed a few months ago, so I'm going to this little hole in the wall here in outside of Chandler.
Yeah.
I like getting my books there. It's nice. It's small. They'll always pull my books for me. But there were these guys standing around talking, and it was straight out of a bad episode of The Simpsons. whatever that place is called, the electric robot or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
These guys, I mean, if I had been someone wanting just poking my head in, some civilian checking it out, I'd have been scared to death to walk into that place. It was sad. It was sad.
Yeah, well, that happens.
I've been in there, you know, probably 10 or 15 times, and I still got that dirty look from them, like, what are you doing in our space?
See, I hate that. I hate that kind of stuff.
That's better, you know?
Yeah. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I used to be one of those people.
I dread the fact that I probably was, too, but it's, you know, get girlfriends, get, you know, boyfriends, whatever. It's, whatever it is that makes it, that mindset go away, which I'm guessing it's sex, to be honest with you.
You may be right.
Get some, and, you know.
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, you're killing me. Oh, Lord.
The view from up in the soapbox is pretty good, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it is. It's not bad up here. It is not bad up here. Oh, Lord, that's hilarious.
find me a comic book virgin that doesn't look at people. Never mind. Whatever. I'm sorry.
I remember.
Turned into freaking Patton Oswalt here.
Don't get me started on that. I remember almost getting in a fist fight one time because somebody made a damn comic. comment about my Spock shirt one time, and it was that kind of dismissive attitude, and oh man, I was that way. I was elitist in my own way. But anyway,
that's how
it goes.
I'll tell you, one of my best friends, in the, you know, historically speaking, we met, or we got to be friends because I wore a Sin City t-shirt to work one time, and he gave me that, he tried to give me the tooth, like, you've been wearing that t-shirt. You don't know what Sin City is. And
I
quote him chapter and verse.
Yeah, there you go. Give it to him.
I'm like, well, there's this guy named Marv, and we turn out to be friends, and I, you know, you're each other's best men at each other's wedding. So
yeah. There you go.
And we both had had sex by that point. and not with each other.
That's good.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Okay.
That seems like a lovely note to end on.
Yes, yes. I think we probably should, yes.
So how can people respond to this nonsense that we've spouted out for the last hour?
I don't know.
Really? I think there's an email.
An email or a Facebook page or a...
Oh, yes. Oh, that was my cue, wasn't it? I was reading something real quick. Anyway, yes, you can email us at podcast@talesfromthelawnbox.com. We have the wonderful Facebook page, which we get a lot of traffic on, a lot of people there. All kinds of people from all different walks of life there. Just do a little searchy in the searchy box, and you'll find us pretty easily. We got a forum, but, you know, I don't even go there because I've been busy. What else? You can comment on the actual episodes on the actual TalesFromTheLawnBox.com website as well. And we do appreciate your feedback. So
totally.
That's about it for this episode.
See you later.
See ya.
Night.
Night. All right, that was fun.
All right.